What's up, everybody? This is Jay King. Just a little pre-show warning. So I did share a stat on the podcast that was just false when I said that the last time the Celtics made 3 3-pointers or fewer in a game was in 1994. That's not true. It was actually in 2016. I don't know what went wrong with my basketball reference search. That was probably on me. But just want to let you know it was false. It was 2016. So please carry on with the rest of the podcast. I believe the rest of the things we said were true, but maybe not. Who knows? Enjoy the podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
Man, I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, or Kyrie when he make a trade. And nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie.
Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I want to thank you for joining us, making us part of your daily routine, wherever it is that you're going, whatever it is that you're doing. Thank you for bringing us along. We are the Rain and Jays. I am John Corrales. You find my stuff on RedsArmy.com and Boston.com. Joined tonight by Jay King of The Athletic, where you can eventually find his stuff, but there is no stuff as of right now. So
go subscribe.
Start writing for
everyone. Yeah. Should subscribe. We launch April 10th.
April 10th, the big launch. Go subscribe to The Athletic. You get a t-shirt now if you subscribe to The Athletic.
Yeah, t-shirt, man. That's big time.
I'd rather talk about the t-shirt than this 96-78 loss to the Toronto Raptors, which now solidifies the seeding. At least in the top two spots, the Raptors will get the top seed. The Celtics are going to be the second seed, basically. I don't think it's even – I guess it's possible that the Celtics could win out and the Raptors could lose out, but basically it's 1-2 Raptors and Celtics. Looked good for the Celtics early. They came out to a 2014 lead. Then the second quarter happened. And then the third quarter happened, and the fourth quarter happened, and it just didn't look great from there. Celtics, Jay, still though, I'm kind of impressed with, even as bad as that second quarter was, they still found ways to keep it close, and even midway through that fourth quarter, you knew it never really was going to turn around, but they just kind of kept things close enough. It was 10, 12 points where you thought, shit, maybe the Celtics could pull out one of those crazy magical wins if somebody got hot, which nobody just did.
Yeah, their defense was fine. They only allowed 43.5% shooting, only allowed 10 three-pointers. It was just their offense was a mess. And this was a game that it mattered most, or it was most obvious that they have just no ball handling, no playmakers at this point. Terry Rozier forced some stuff, and he was their only point guard. Beyond him, Jason Tatum played some point guard. He didn't have an easy time. Raptors put Kyle Lowry on him and really pressured up on him, tried to take him out of his comfort zone that he showed when he played point guard against them the other night. So the Celtics, they just didn't have a lot of ball handling. Then the Raptors downsized, went to 3 point guard lineups with Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, and DeLon Wright. And what the hell is Brad Stevens supposed to do? He literally only has 2 point guards on his roster. One of those is Kadeem Allen, a two-way contract guy. So he was kind of strapped to about what he could do. There weren't too many options. So when Dwayne Casey went to that, there was just too much speed, too much ball handling. The Celtics just didn't take care of the ball. To use your size against a unit like that, you have to be able to take care of the ball. And the Celtics just coughed it up way too many times, especially in the first half.
Yeah, that was pretty terrible. First half, let's see, the first half turnovers were 14 turnovers for 22 points for the Raptors, that literally half of their points were off of Celtics turnovers. And it was especially noticeable in that second quarter. The Celtics turned it over a ton. I felt like there was a stretch there in the second where every possession, it was just turnover after turnover. They had 9 turnovers in the second quarter to get 17 points off of those Celtics turnovers. So the lack of ball handling just reared its ugly head. Kadeem Allen can only do so much. He had, I thought in the past 2 games, he did a couple of decent things for a guy who's on a 2-way contract that's still learning, that barely got any NBA minutes. He played, and in Milwaukee, I thought he played with a decent pace, and he was trying to make the right decisions, but he's just not good enough, and what are you going to do? Like you said, Dwayne Casey finally understood that if you flood the floor with guards, the Celtics had no chance to match up with that.
Yeah, even when they try to go zone, Toronto was much, much better about dealing with it. Just kind of destroyed it. Used their quickness, used their speed, used their passing. Fred VanVleet, I thought, was just great. He hurt the Celtics off the bounce all night. Hurt their switches, hurt their guards. Just did a great job. Lowry helped. I mean,
of course you thought VanVleet was great.
I mean, he was. Was he not? 15 points off the bench, plus 10.
No, he was good. He was good. I just like busting your balls about VanVleet.
VanVleet is my guy. And then Lowry kind of, his presence allowed them to go small. He's like, they're smart. You know, he was guarding Jason Tatum. He was guarding Marcus Morris for a little while. And the Celtics scored on him in the post a couple of times. But he's a tough guy to post up. Even though he's short, he's just a super strong guy, low center of gravity. And so he's tough to post up. Celtics had a tough time. I mean, 33.3%. Only three made three-pointers the whole game. I'm currently on Basketball Reference trying to find out when the last time they had three three-pointers or less was, and it was 1994.
Jeez.
April,
that's not great.
April 3rd, 1994.
Damn. Well, that's a long time ago.
I should tweet that. That's a good tweet.
Go ahead and tweet that.
I'm tweeting now.
This is great. We're live podcasting Jay's tweets.
That's how it goes, baby.
And I'm waiting for you to tweet that. I'm waiting for you to tweet that so I can retweet it and get some of that shine. So look, okay. All right. So, and I thought it was. I had all of these notes that I took down before, like, the second quarter and even in the second quarter, and everything started to fall apart, and I just stopped. I just stopped taking notes. Cause at some point, like, once I wrote down the Raptors bench returns, then that was it. That bench came in and kind of reclaimed its position as maybe the best bench in the NBA. They've done a tremendous job, and probably one of the biggest reasons why the Raptors are the one seed, because that bench has just performed so well all year long. So the Celtics, when they beat Toronto in Boston, were able to limit that bench, and like you were saying, they couldn't do it tonight, and that's just the Celtics didn't have the personnel to do it. So once all that happened, I was kind of done. So if we look at the standings now, like I said, the Celtics are the second seed for sure. Raptors number one. Now this gets interesting because the Cleveland Cavaliers and the 76ers are both 48 and 30. But the Cavaliers get the 3 seed because they are the division winner. But Philly just keeps on keeping on, baby. And the Raptors could end up facing the Cavaliers in the second round. And the Celtics, as of right now, because of tiebreakers and stuff, would face the Wizards in the 7th slot. And I just do not like that matchup for the Celtics.
Yeah, the Wizards could be a tough one. Wizards could be a tough one. We'll see. We'll see what happens. There's so much that could go on. I mean, it could be Miami. It could be Washington. It could be Milwaukee. And even round two, now it's about round two, right? Like, if the Celtics get by round one, it's either Philly or the Cavs. Well, that could be a huge difference. That could be a huge difference. And I know Philly's been great, but to me, you'd much rather avoid LeBron if you can. And so Cleveland versus Philly for the number three seed could be really important now to Boston.
That's going to be a big one. Hey, guys, I want to remind everybody that the Locked On NBA podcast has gone daily. And if you haven't seen it on my Twitter feed, I am hosting one of those daily shows along with Jake Madison from Locked On Pelicans. We have the Wednesday show. So what we do every day, Monday, it's the biggest stories from the local experts. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, it's the kind of recap from the night before. And so if you want to get your NBA, now that we're heading into the playoffs, you want to get the full NBA picture, subscribe to Locked On NBA. And again, I'm hosting the Wednesday show with Jake Madison. So be sure to subscribe where you found us, wherever you get your podcasts. Okay. Oh, there's your tweet.
There it is. Let me retweet it. It took me a little while.
There it is. It did.
It's
crafted this.
It's tough to multitask, you know?
Yeah, well, it's all right. That's okay. Speaking of tweets, why don't we just mention a couple of these tweets here, because there were a few sent to the during the game. Just to give you guys a shout-out for using the hashtag RainaJays. At Skroberg, Donald Skroberg, shooting 13% from three while getting 16 turnovers isn't great. But I think we will shoot better than 13% in the playoffs. Feel like that's a fair bet, that they're going to do better than 13% in the playoffs. One thing I want to mention, Al Horford, and I'm not getting into a big Al Horford thing, but I tweeted this out. I want to get your opinion. Everybody would love to see Al Horford shoot more. I think part of the problem, especially when we talk about like this tweet about shooting percentage and the three-point shooting percentage, I think obviously the entire team misses Kyrie Irving. I think Al Horford really especially misses Kyrie Irving, and he especially misses Kyrie Irving hitting him in the hands with a pass that he can just catch and basically catch and shoot. And if you watch these games the past couple of weeks, Al Horford's catching these passes. He's doing like these dribble handoffs, and defenders are going after the ball handler. And instead of the ball coming back to Horford in a position where he can catch and shoot, that ball is kind of flying off to the side. It's giving the defense a chance to recover. I think those little things are part of why he misses Kyrie a lot. I just kind of want to get your take. I don't know if you noticed how the ball is coming back to Al Horford in a position where he doesn't have a chance to do much.
Yeah, that's a huge thing. And we've said this before on the podcast. Al Horford, he's a guy who he's not going to just take you one-on-one. That's never been his game. He's not going to be someone who forces the issue, who's going to isolate, but he is really great at taking advantage of closeouts and taking advantage of mismatches down low and taking advantage of all the times he catches a ball in an advantageous situation. Well, he's not catching the ball as often in those situations because he doesn't have Kyrie drawing so much attention. And so I think he's the perfect player to put next to a Kyrie Irving, an Isaiah Thomas, because those guys draw so much attention and then throw the basketball to Al Horford, and when he has it against a closeout, he's deadly because he'll beat you off the dribble, he'll draw the defense, he'll make the right pass, he'll do things, he'll score himself, he'll make the right play every single time. Well, when it's Kadeem Allen coming off a pick and roll, and the defense doesn't even have to react to him because he's not a threat to score from any tier, whether it's layups, mid-range, three-pointers, whatever, he's not a threat. It's totally different for Al, so he's not the type of guy whose usage rate is going to expand when the Celtics get beat up. And is that one of his flaws? Absolutely. Like, it would be nice if Al Horford were the type of guy to go get the ball and be able to just go one-on-one against teams, but that's not what he does. So it's going to be guys like Marcus Morris, guys like Terry Rozier, guys like Jason Tatum, who increase their usage rates, and Al Horford just kind of does the same thing, and he's slightly less effective doing that because the Celtics don't have that guy like Kyrie Irving who demands so much attention and puts Al Horford in better situations. So Horford's always been a guy who he works really well with great players. And that's one of his strengths. But when the great players aren't there, he's not the type of guy who's just going to just murder a team. And that's too bad, but it's just the way it is. And I don't think that's necessarily a fault of Al Horford's most of the time. But during this stretch, when they have this team, I do think that is a fault of Al Horford's. And it would be nice if he could go and do more for himself.
Yeah, look, I know what people say. They look at his salary, and it's close to $30 million. And they say when you pay a guy $30 million, he should be able to take over when in this exact situation, you've got a $30 million player, and you say, hey, this is the time where the $30 million guy goes out and plays. But that's not what they paid him $30 million for. That's not what he is. And no matter how much you pay a guy, it's the same thing I'll say to everybody. Just because I walked into your office and gave you a massive raise doesn't mean you're going to do your job any better. If you're doing the best job you've done, and you know whatever it is, whether it's you writing, us podcasting, somebody out there selling real estate, whatever it is, if you're theoretically doing the best possible job you can, going in and throwing some guy, 20 times what he makes doesn't mean he's going to suddenly become different. Doesn't mean he's going to suddenly become a CEO. Or whatever. Al Horford was paid that money to be one third of a triumvirate that did, a bunch of great things. That it plays off of Kyrie Irving. It plays off of Gordon Hayward, where he was supposed to play off of Kevin Durant. But you paid him that money because in that system, that whole big three and make everybody better system, he becomes super, super dangerous. That's just not – you're right. He's just not who he is. I thought it was a great point that you made when you – if he gets the ball when he's supposed to get the ball and the closeout is coming and he can up fake, and it just changes what the defender is going to do. If you get the ball a half second late and the closeout's coming and the defender gets the set, then those up fakes that Horford's throwing, they're not going to get a guy off balance. It's not going to allow him to drive past the defender. Is not going to allow him to do a lot of things. He needs other guys. He definitely needs other guys. And if people get hung up on the salary that he makes, that's their problem. The player that he is the player that he is. And within, with Kyrie, just him and Kyrie, that two-man game was so good. I do think that he benefits a lot, not just because Kyrie is great, but Kyrie knows where and when to get him the ball. I thought that was just something that I had noticed over the past few games.
One stat.
Ask Robert Denton.
Oh, but before we move on, one stat that really stood out, 0 assists for Horford and only 10 for the Celtics. Now, obviously, a lot of guys weren't hitting shots, but the Celtics, I think, given the way that their offense is, they need to try to run more offense through Horford, whether it's in the post, whatever. He needs to be the fulcrum of more stuff. Is fulcrum even the right word there? I don't even know.
No, I like that. I think that was good. I like that. I thought that was – if you had not said anything, I would have just silently said, wow, that was
– It might be the right word. I don't even know if that's the point on which a lever rests
let me tell you a little bit.
Or is supported and on which it pivots. That, boom. Fulcrum.
Googling fulcrum. Yeah. Perfect. Jay, look, my dad taught me a lesson once.
Ooh, Mr. Like, Corrales talk.
If you – yeah. Okay. So quick story. My dad, this is both a horrible and awesome story at the same time. When I was like 16 growing up in Rhode Island, my dad would take me to the dog track, which is completely inappropriate for a 16-year-old. But my dad wanted to go to the dog track, and he had friends there. And it was fine. It was fine. It's just dogs running around. So we were walking in. I'm 16 years old, and you're supposed to be 18. He goes, look, John, if you walk in there like you own the place, nobody's going to say anything. And it was my first lesson in confidence that – if you just walk through those doors like you own the fucking place, no one's going to say anything. And I did, and nobody said anything. That when you use the word fulcrum, you use it like you made up the word fulcrum, and no one would ever say anything. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a joke. That's a Joe Corrales special.
Oh, you know, Joe Corrales is the fulcrum of this podcast.
Robert Denton, I don't understand why the season – defense fell apart. Not smart enough. Can you help analyze? Well, that's what we do. We analyze. I think the Celtics defense fell apart. First of all,
their defense was fine.
You don't have their defense was fine, except down the stretch where it did fall apart down the stretch. And I think what basically Greg Monroe kind of got stuck and just wasn't in the right position on a lot of those drives. First of all, you can't they couldn't stop any of the penetration. And that's the difference between having Marcus Smart out there and being able to prevent a guy from driving. And also Greg Monroe trying to being unclear on where he should be. And you saw it at the end of the game. They were just like getting drives and dunks and jump offs.
Just too much speed from the Raptors. The Celtics didn't have enough speed. When they went to 3-point guards, too much ball handling, too much speed, and it just ripped apart the Celtics defense.
There you go.
They need Larkin back. Larkin's a big deal these days.
Can you imagine? That was a word. Like when they signed Larkin way back last summer, I thought he was going to be a guy that was maybe cut. You sign him, you cut him, you send him to the D-League. And now here we are getting ready, four games away from the playoffs, and you, not ironically, in all seriousness, said they need Larkin back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just how it goes. It's just how it goes. They need Larkin. And what Larkin does, too, is he allows them to play two point guards at the same time sometimes. And, like, you're not going to put Kadeem Allen on the court to downsize. Like, you'd rather have somebody else. But with Larkin, you can go to Rozier and Larkin and have a chance to match up with a lineup like what the Raptors threw out there. But without Larkin, without Smart, without Irving, there just weren't a lot of options when the Raptors went to that. Dwayne Casey, he went to that in both halves for extended stretches and really just ruined the Celtics with that.
Before we wrap up, just a quick note. Adams Himmelsbach tweeting, Brad Stevens says, if guys have lingering aches or pains, that he'll look into giving them rest over the last four games, but also wants one or two games with the full available group. So that seems to mean that basically we're gonna see a couple of days of them resting people with none of this mattering anymore. The last four games, you're gonna see some really wild lineups. You're gonna see a whole lot more Kadeem Allen. Chicago, Atlanta, I'm willing to bet those next two games are gonna be kind of really, really meaningless, especially meaningless. And that's going to be a whole bunch of D-League type of stuff. I'm interested in that Tuesday, April 10th game at Washington. It's an 8 o'clock game on TNT. That might be the most important game of the playoffs for the Celtics to me because they're facing Washington, and the Wizards currently, like I said, are sitting there at 7, and I'm pretty sure that most people agree that you do not want to play the Wizards in the first round of those three choices, Miami, Washington, and the Bucks. The Wizards are the worst matchup for the Celtics because they obviously have Wall and Beal in the backcourt, and Marcus Smart and Kyrie Irving are not going to be around. So that's going to really suck. So if the Wizards are sitting there at 7, the Celtics have an opportunity to either completely lay down or go all out somehow to get the Wizards out of 7. That could be a super important game coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you care? Do you care who they play?
I want to go to Miami, man. Yeah,
I knew you wanted to go to Miami.
Give me the beach. I just don't want to go to Milwaukee. Don't make me go to Milwaukee.
Milwaukee's nice.
I do think the Wizards are obviously the toughest matchup. I think though that the Miami because Miami can go really small. And Miami can go to lineups with Josh Richardson and Goran Dragic and Tyler Johnson. And so they can kind of go to like...
And Kelly Olynyk?
Yeah, but they can go to those three-point guard lineups that the Raptors went to tonight. And they use those pretty frequently. So they could be a tough matchup for the Celtics the way things are. The Celtics would need to take care of the ball and use their size. And so I don't think Miami would be an easy matchup either. I think Milwaukee would be the most desirable, but then they have Giannis. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but I agree. I think that's the right ranking, Milwaukee, Miami, Washington, in order of preference. Yeah, they've got Giannis, but they've also got a complete mess of the rest of the team. They should be better, but they're not, and they are defensively very weak, and I think the Celtics can take advantage of that with at as healthy as they can be in the first round. If Rozier is 100% and Larkin is back, and you know they've got all of the guys back that they're going to get, and whenever Marcus and Kyrie get back, whatever. But against the Bucks, I think that's enough. The Heat would be a tough series. The Wizards, I'd be afraid of. Like that's the ranking for me. Bucks, I'm okay with. Heat, eh. The Wizards, like, oh shit.
Yeah. That's all. That's probably fair.
Okay. Any parting words before we wrap this show up?
Do not watch that game ever again. Don't. Yes. If you were lucky enough not to watch it, do not even look in your DVR. Just delete it instantly. No,
let it go.
Don't do it to yourself.
Let it go. In fact, the next couple of games you might want to just not even bother with. Watch the Bruins, maybe if you're a hockey fan or whatever, watch some baseball. Hey, speaking of which, Locked On is expanding into baseball. Get ready for a baseball podcast. No Locked On Red Sox yet, but get ready. They will be one soon. So they're expanding. One for NFL, one for NBA. If you're a baseball fan, get ready. Your favorite baseball team is coming too. All right. That's that. Celtics lose 96-78. They are now pretty much officially the second seed, and we now wait to see what happens down at the end of the standings. Miami won tonight, by the way, beating Atlanta by a ton, so we're waiting to see how that all shakes out. Again, I am John Corrales from RedsArmy.com, Boston.com. Find me at RedsArmy_John on Twitter. Jay King is at ByJKing on Twitter, and he is of the newly minted Athletic Boston. They have expanded into Boston. They've got a great, great crew. And I've said this personally to Jay. I've said it on Twitter to Jay. I'll say it on the podcast to Jay. Very, very well deserved. Congratulations. I'm very happy. I'm proud of you for doing your, you know, all of the work paying off. I'm proud of a blogger making it at this level. I mean, you've already made it doing the beat for Mass Live, but, you know, elevating it to the Athletic. It's another Boston Celtics blogger hitting it big. I love it. Fucking love it. Awesome.
Thank you, man. So, thank you.
I'm just psyched. I'm very psyched for this. Boston Celtics bloggers are taking over basketball media. It's awesome.
Shout out to Celtics Town. But seriously, that means a lot, man. Thank you for your excitement. I appreciate that quite a bit.
Look, everybody subscribe. Go subscribe. I subscribed right away. Go subscribe to The Athletic. It's worth it. It's not a lot of money, and you're going to get a lot of great coverage. And if you're a Boston fan, you're going to get – there's a ton of great Boston writers for all of Boston sports. Boston sports media is great. This is just another great avenue for that, so go subscribe to that. Subscribe to the Locked On Celtics podcast if you haven't done that. Go search for Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcasts. If you are a subscriber, we would really, really very much appreciate a 5-star rating and a good review. That really helps us out a lot. We're trying to build something big here with the Locked On Celtics podcast. Like I said, Jay's making it big. We want to make the podcast go big. We're going to take over this whole goddamn thing. And it starts with you, the listener, giving us that rating and sharing, spreading the word. Tell everybody, listen to us. We're the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On podcast. Yeah.